spanning south of Birmingham, then north of Huntsville, from Tuscaloosa to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in for good measure. This is the Right Side Radio. Ernie Yarbrough filling in one more time for the one and only Phil Williams as we continue our section today. This is the first. We had our monologue a little bit earlier, and looking beyond the next 4 years, obviously we know tonight's a big debate, right, coming up, presidential debate, and a lot of issues at stake, obviously, in our next election. Certainly while we look to we want to be engaged in building things for the next 40 and 100 years and pouring in at the grassroots level of culture making in our homes and those important things. The immediate is also very important. There's a lot of things at stake. You look at the economy. You look at obviously this push for these books in our schools and libraries, this push to really sexualize our kids, transgender, the homosexual agenda and movement. And on the other side, the right and, you know, our families and our faith base needing to find their voice, find their courage. There's issues obviously across the board with not just the economy in general and inflation, and international importance with wars and countries and all the things that are happening on the international scene that are of significant importance to us. As a nation, you know, we live obviously in a time when we can't be as isolated from the rest of the world as back perhaps when our nation was founded. They didn't have to deal with ICBMs and so forth. So here we are having to engage in this. And another part of the battle that happens is in our natural resources. We see this all the time right now with really radical woke agendas being driven, whether it has to do with our power, nuclear power, whether it has to do with global warming, and whether it has to do with our farmland and what we're going to do about that. So this is the first section, the first of the three of the Triple Dippers, and farmland in trouble. This is another area in which there's tremendous battles going on across this country. One of the ways in which those battles is taking place, happening right now, actually in Lawrence County in my district, there is a push by the federal government to cover up across our state and across places of farming in this country prime farmland with solar panels, right? We're trying to deal with the issue of power. And so the way to do it is, hey, we're not going to put these solar panels on top. So these boasting green companies are on top of, hey, you know, dumps or whatever. We're going to find farmland and we're going to put solar panels all over our farmland. That's a great idea. So of course, in the battle for power and the battle for, hey, we need to have one of the great benefits of COVID has been there's been a huge migration of an ongoing of manufacturing companies back to the states, right? Because it became so cost ineffective with the supply chain issues of COVID that it was more cost effective to, hey, since the American customers are our end customer base, let's just go ahead and move some of these plants and manufacturing sites back to the state. Well, that's a great blessing. It creates a problem, and a good problem to have. We need power. We need more power, right? So obviously in the power discussion, I'm a degreed electrical engineer, so that's kind of a little bit down my alley. And what does the federal government do here? Are we gonna try to make it easier, more fast track getting long-term stable power online, like nuclear power, like coal, or like gas power? No, we're going to continue to have all the red tape there and make it next to impossible. Hey, yeah, you can have that another 20 years, right? Or whatever, some crazy amount of time. But we're going to have all these renewable energy projects. Right. So we're going to not only we're seeing the collapse of the push for the electric cars. There's just stockpiling up. People aren't buying them, which is what happens when what woke ideology drives your policies instead of common sense facts and reality. You see projects like in Arizona that were canceled, the micro reactors that were hundreds of millions of dollars based on renewable energy. You got the wind farms off the coast. I think it was of New York, hundreds of millions of dollars. Hey, we can make this work if you let us triple the rates of the power payers, of the consumers, right? Well, that's not going to work either. And so now what do we want to do? Well, we want to cover up farmland with thousands of acres of prime farmland with solar panels to address renewable energy. Well, it turns out we had, I think it was Carver County, they brought online not too long ago a gas-powered power facility. And in like 30 acres, it can do more power, consistent and reliable, than like a 1,600 to 2,000 acre solar panel farm. So you tell me, 30 acres, 2,000 acres, consistent, reliable, sun shining or not, versus, again, not that solar doesn't have some place of use, but it's not in meeting the critical demand and load of our power grid, right? It's not gonna, the technology is not there. If it was, hey, listen, computers now, the size of what's this laptop versus like the size of a room, got more computing power right here. So technology is amazing, right? But if we're not there, don't put a square peg into a round hole for some woke ideology that's going to cost us hundreds of millions of dollars. And even worse, put us in a place of national security. Because, hey, if you don't control your own food supply and your own power supply, you're in big trouble. Like, I don't know, in Idaho, farmer sounds the alarm over water restrictions that can damage 500,000 acres of farmland. Sounds a little bit significant, doesn't it? I think it does. 500 Eastern Idaho farmers may soon be out of water after the state issued a major curtailment. Brian Murdoch, a farmer who resides in East Idaho, warned of the potential devastating impact of the order on his business. As you said, the state of Idaho, he says here in an interview with Fox Business, has issued this curtailment of 500,000 acres. And to help put that in perspective, that's basically 781 square miles of farm ground that's being taken out of production. And of course, he says, the worst problem is that this is happening during a very plentiful water year. We have reservoirs that are completely full, and when I mean full, they're dang near breaking. The rivers are running as high as they possibly can, just trying to keep those dams from breaking. Well, this is what happens when you have more of a concern for woke environmental policies than you do for putting food on the table of Americans. Right, the Idaho groundwater appropriators, who represent the agricultural industry and the farmers, basically, they are describing the order as the single largest curtailment of water use in state history, and it would result in the drying up of hundreds of thousands of acres of farmland and could cost the state hundreds of millions of dollars in economic loss. Murdoch says his family's 135-year legacy of growing potatoes is facing a $3 million loss due to the state-issued order. The governor can fix it. Now, it looks like I see an article here that the water curtailment order is lifted for farmers in East Idaho temporarily, which will save about 330,000 of those acres of Idaho's farmland. But the issue has not been dealt with permanently. It's a temporary fix. In a press release, the governor says that people cannot see, especially in a good water year, what's underground, the ongoing dwindling supply of water in the Eastern Snake Plain Aquifer, right? So the governor has the ability and the constitutional to end this curtailment. That's the part and role of his job. We cannot be prioritizing, he says, environmental policies over the welfare and the food of our people. This is an interesting idea here, because a concept, a push, we see this across the spectrum of the woke political people, woke political ideologies, because think about this in terms of, they want to prioritize the environment over people, right? We see this even in the radical push with animal rights. Now, I live on a farm. I love animals. As much as any person who has a farm should love animals, take care of them. I grew up with animals. But we see this, even this prioritization, it seems like at times where you see these crazy investments and buried in the budget for weird animal studies and prioritizing animals and animal life, and all the uproar over animal cruelty. Again, I'm for, the Bible says, Proverbs says, the righteous man regards the life of his beast, right? We're supposed to take care of our animals. We're supposed to be good stewards of the property of the creation. So in a sense, the environmental platform is the conservative platform. But it's not at the cost and destruction of human life, right? It really, G.K. Chesterton once made this very adept statement. He said, wherever there's been animal worship, there's always been human sacrifice. Let that sink in. Wherever there's been such a prioritization over animals or over the environment, right, there's always been human sacrifice. So how do we balance that? What do we do as the conservative approach to this? Well, there's a great little book called Completing Capitalism, Heal Business to Heal the World. And that book is written by two men. You can get it on Amazon, real small copy. You can read it. I'm big about, as I said yesterday, giving out small books. So don't want to overwhelm the book reading crazy that represents American people too much. So small book, orange and white. Two guys work, they're high up in the food chain, pun intended, for Mars Food Company. And so they ran the whole Asian Pacific market for that section of the Mars Food Company. And they said, hey, you know what? There's this model out there. Some folks want to focus on the environment. Some folks want to focus just on making money. The Milton Friedman model of economics was, hey, there's one form of capital and it's money, it's dollar. Well, no, this book says, hey, here's our so many years of experiment that there's actually three forms of capital, right? And those three forms of capital are financial, human, and the environment, right? And we have to, in the context of capitalism, these three forms of capital can exist in a symbiotic relationship so that we don't destroy creation, we don't destroy human beings, we don't destroy financial capital. We unleash the principles of the free market, right? In the context of business, we let the free market and capitalism do its work, but in a way that balances these three forms of capital so that you don't have people using one form of capital to destroy other forms of capital. It's called a mature, wise approach to how we do the economy. So folks, let's not go radical, destroy our food supply. Let's not go radical and destroy human life while we go crazy for animal rights. Let's balance all these together in a truly conservative approach, because reality is, when it comes to human capital, when it comes to natural resources, when it comes to financial capital, that should be the playground of the true conservative. Prosperity comes when we embrace a mature approach to a symbiotic relationship of balancing the good gifts of God. And that is the Right Side Way. And we're back. Ernie Yarbrough filling in for Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative and just plain right here with you on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. Got a little bit of rain. Been dry in North Alabama. And somebody had a funny comment on Facebook, said, what is this strange stuff falling from the sky? So we're glad to have some rain. It's quite nice. So very thankful for that. However, we're not always thankful for the fact that we see so often government getting tangled up in business. So I'll take a few minutes here. Obviously, the last section that we just talked about with the farmland in trouble, and that was our first of our triple dipper. And I want to talk for a minute with you about untangling government and business. Now, I think COVID was an interesting displayer of a lot of things. And one of those interesting things, you know, as conservatives, we don't really believe that it's the government's job to be dictating all of the terms of and having its hands in selling things and business, but to set the general framework. That's also the case for individual liberties as well. And so when we talk about untangling government and business, and government not poking its nose in too much where it, you know, there are obviously certain laws that business has to do, you know, I think about how do we approach that as conservatives? Because it feels like, you know, you see these different bills being passed for economic development and all these different ways in which business and government are connected together for good or bad. And, you know, what is the power of the free market and untangling business? Well, think about during COVID. You remember when you've had all these government incentives being given to either airline companies or car manufacturing companies. During COVID, they said, hey, you guys have to wear a mask if you're going to fly on our planes. So, of course, in the free market, right, if people didn't want to do that, what would they do? Why, they would just say, well, I'm not going to fly American. I'm going to fly Delta. And they'd go over there and they'd take their money elsewhere. And in a normal free market scenario, what would happen is American would say, oh, well, hold on. The science has changed. And actually, the science now shows that you don't have to wear a mask when you fly. So come on back to American Airlines. Well, obviously, if they're getting their money, incentives, tax breaks, and they're in bed with the government, well, what does that do? Well, it has the effect of diminishing the voice of the free market, right? So it's not just that we have power with our vote, right? The people have power with their vote, certainly, but the people also have power with their dollar. And that's the power and the beauty of the free market is, hey, if we don't like what's being done, hey, how about last June, Bud Light, Target, the people of this country made their voice heard in a very clear way that had dramatic and immediate effects. But of course, if businesses are entangled in bed with government, right, then, well, what happens? Well, all of a sudden now, more and more, the people don't become the customer, but the government becomes the customer. And businesses are going to serve the source of their money. That's just the reality of how the world works. And so, of course, what happens is the voice of the people, the desire of the actual market, is to a large degree set aside. because now corporations are becoming more these big corporations. The temptation, right, is that they will become the implementation arm, the voice arm, the public policy enforcement arm of a woke federal government. And that's not a good thing at all. But now what's funny is sometimes conservatives or professing conservatives or Republicans get involved in this too, right? Because case in point, vaccination status. That was a big topic of conversation during COVID, right? And so my first session, I brought a bill that was, hey, you know what? We're not going to let businesses, people's jobs be on the line for their vaccination status. It's not right. That's a decision between them and their personal doctor. We're going to hold sacrosanct and sacred that doctor-patient relationship, right? And we're not going to let, how is that not telling businesses what to do? Well, the reality is that the government, first of all we do is tell businesses what to do. We feed them, we fine them, we permit them. We got permits, fees, and regulations out the yin-yang, even in our state, like crazy. Right. So it's not as if the government doesn't tell businesses what to do. But what a government does should require, a healthy government, I think, is it helps each reality stay in its own lane. Right. So you have individual liberties and freedoms. Right. The business owner has rights and privileges and freedoms, but the business owner doesn't get to step into and trample over the rights of the individual, just like the federal government doesn't get to step into the business. Now, the government requires business. Hey, you can't be stealing money from people. You can't be doing horribly shoddy work and charging this money and getting away with it. There are certain areas of accountability, but the individual also gets to hold sacrosanct their bodily autonomy. Right. So there's this balance of power where the government does require certain honorable actions without corruption and certain levels of honorableness. But outside of that, it holds sacrosanct the rights of the individual, the rights of the business. And I had an interesting conversation because when I filed this bill, vaccine freedom, I was told, well, you know, this bill is not going to be able to get a hearing because we don't tell businesses what to do. And I said, well, that's funny because that's all we do in government. And so then, you know, I said, you know, if I was to come and say, hey, I got this promotion for you. I just need some inappropriate favors. You'd say, well, that's illegal. You can't do that, right? You can't do that. And so the reality is that we do tell businesses what to do more than we should probably, but the businesses can't be allowed to overstep into the rights of the individual when it comes to bodily autonomy, right? And so it turns out so often that is tied to people get financial kickbacks or they have personal businesses that receive federal contracts or there's a hundred different ways, right, that we can get out of the way and then we let the federal government tell businesses what to do when we shouldn't do that. I think as a state government, we should be a firewall for our businesses and for our people so that we hold sacrosanct the relationship of the business and the individual, right? So they can operate in both of their lanes as free citizens, as free businesses, honoring each other, flourishing together. And when we untangle government and let those ride as they should, we'll have freedom and prosperity like never before in Alabama. And that is the right side way.